Captain Jesse Jackson and his gang, unquote. When I talked about testosterone a little while ago and how so many people lack it, one thing is for sure, Mayor Kahana does not lack courage, chutzpah, call it whatever you will, we know it as guts. To this audience, but introduce him I do. He's Mayor Kahana of the Jewish Defense League, but I think much more than that. And Mayor Kahana, you promised that you would return, and indeed you have kept that promise, returning on the 25th of April. And according to some people, you've come back in your familiar role as, and I quote, a troublemaker.
Well, I think that probably throughout history, it's the troublemakers of this world that have been the ones that in the end have put an end to real trouble. Jesse Jackson is trouble. I mean, he is real trouble for America. I can't get over the fact that there are so many people in this country that have turned into lemmings. Lemmings. A lemming is a small rat-sized animal. And he has a curious habit. Every so often, whole herds of them, for no obvious reason, suddenly dash up a precipice and throw themselves off the cliff and kill themselves. I must tell you, there are lemmings. Lemmings. I can't believe when I see not only Jews, but otherwise ordinary sane people embracing this fellow, this shallow demagogue who is a hater of the First Order, who is as much a Klansman as any white Klansman who ever lived. And the double standard, it's a triple standard. If Jesse Jackson would be white, my God, the B'nai B'rith would see red. When we came out back in November and we said Jackson is bad for Jews and for America, the attacks by the Jewish leadership, by people like Alexander Schindler, by the B'nai B'rith, were incredible. The attacks not against Jackson, but against us. And all the nonsense that they said, well, he can't win. Well, of course, he's smarter than all of them combined. He knew he couldn't win. He wasn't aiming to win the presidency. He was aiming for what he has now already in his pocket, power, political power. Now, I've come back and I've taken off 3.5 weeks that I can ill afford to take off. I'm, of course, running for Knesset in Israel. But I'm so upset and so disturbed and so frightened. I mean, this man made both Time and Newsweek's cover in their issues. We're aiming at something else. We're aiming at that weaselly-mouthed Walter Mondale. The one way to stop Jesse Jackson from using his power brokerage, it takes two to tango. If Mondale won't broker with him, then Jackson will have no power. And we're demanding that Walter Mondale make a clear-cut statement that he will have nothing to do with this black, racist Ku Klux Klanner. And if he doesn't, then I'm going to be running around this country calling upon Jews, don't vote Democrat this election. Mondale thinks that he has the Jews in his pocket. Well, don't give him a penny, don't give him money, and don't give him votes until he stands up and makes the statement that he should make. No dealings with Jesse Jackson.
Many questions arise in listening to what you've just said. You allude to the fact you're running for the Knesset in Israel. Well, then, if you're running for the Knesset in Israel, then that's where your concerns would be. People could say, if that's where you're running for public office, what are you doing interfering in an American election?
First of all, Bob, our world today is one world. The reason why Ronald Reagan is so, and rightly, interested in Central America, well, you can ask, well, it's none of his business. That's not true. That's not true. That's our business. That's our business there. Not a question of defending democracy. Stop that. Let's be open and speak the truth, democracy or not. There's a difference between a dictatorship which doesn't interfere with American rights and one which threatens America. Let's say it openly. And over here too, Jesse Jackson is a threat not only to America, to Israel, to the free world. I have here a copy of Freedom Ways magazine. Freedom Ways is put out by the Communist Party USA. And it's a magazine, they have various magazines aimed at various ethnic groups. And this is aimed at blacks. Now bear in mind, this is the Communist Party USA official black magazine. The lead article in it is by a man named Wyatt T. Walker. Wyatt T. Walker, I debated Walker on the Brown Journal, the Tony Brown Journal. He is the national coordinator for Jesse Jackson. Incredible article.
Why did he write that article? He's not a member of the Communist Party.
Of course not.
No.
Of course not. Never. You're right. Nevertheless, he is. You don't have to be white to be pink. You can be black, and you can have views that are very, very similar. And when he writes an article such as the establishment of Israel was at least an error, but more likely a crime, and as for the military attacks of the PLO, the history of the rape of their people's land dictates the singular objection of reestablishing a homeland by any means necessary. And when this article, when this magazine carries an article by a black congressman, Gus Savage, who was also a Jackson backer, America in the wrong, well then, there is a totality of interest between America and Israel and every freedom-loving nation and every freedom-loving person.
This is tangential, perhaps, but Wyatt Walker has been a guest on this station, never on my program, but he has been a guest on another program and was lauded by the host as though he were some special great person. I suspect, and this is pure surmise on my part, that the only reason he was lauded was because of this almost indefinable hold that black Americans, and in some cases black America, has on other people.
Now, there is no question that while most human beings breathe air, most liberals breathe guilt. And this is part of this. Now, I think that someone would do an immense doctorate in abnormal psychology, in studying the insidious, corrosive effect of guilt. Most to the point, in terms of Jews who did so much for blacks over the decades, for them to now admit that it was wrong is to admit that their entire life was a lie. For all the people in Great Neck or in Greater Neck who used to raise funds for Stokely Carmichael, and then he turned around and, to my delight, slapped them in the you know, kisser. Well, they are almost bound. They are bound because they haven't got the courage to get up and say, we were wrong. And so that's why you can have a full-page ad in the Village Voice signed by some sick group called Jewish Americans for Jesse Jackson. Now, if they're as much Americans as they're Jewish, and I, you know them, people like Abby Hoffman, they're pretty, you know, it's probably like the Holy Roman Empire, not holding that Roman Empire. They're hardly Jewish or anything else. And yet, these are Jews. So like Barry Commoner, who the lowest common type that you can find. There is an incredible inability on my part to begin to understand such people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Khan is with us, and we're going to go open phones at 343-WMCA, 343-WMCA. Not concerned for his well-being, because the Louis Farrakhans of this country play for keeps.
Oh, these lunatics as being tough guys. Tremendous problems to Jewish storekeepers. We decided to put an end to this myth, invincibility. And we sent 75 of our boys into Harlem, right to the Black Panther office, and we notified them in advance. And we said, we're coming down and you can come out and meet us. And they didn't come out.
Hmm.
The fact of the matter is that a bully lives on his reputation. And we intend to put an end to the reputation of this nut out in Chicago. May 20th, we're going out to the temple.
Mm.
And we're going to demonstrate in front of the temple. And anytime Louis would like to come out, we'll be ready for Louis. And if anyone out there would like to join us, you can come. We have chartered buses. Just call 646-1552. Make a reservation. We will tell you where we're meeting. And if Louis would like to come with us, we'll keep a seat open right next to me.
Okay. Coming from anybody else, I might have my doubts. But coming from you, I know you mean it. You're on WMCA. Mayor Khan is here. Hello.
Bob, I'm Jay.
Yes.
Yes, I'm a little upset with the rabbi. You know, rabbi, you started out with a good idea. What you just said was a beautiful idea, but you left it. Why bother going around making all these political speeches about Jesse Jackson and his Louis Farrakhan? Why not go around and start setting up paramilitary organizations and just keep quiet about it? And if they try something, you just get rid of them. That's all.
Because I'm smarter than you are. Because Jesse Jackson is not walking around setting up groups. Jesse Jackson lets these hoods do it. But Jesse Jackson is running for the presidency, running for power. And if I left it up to people like you, he'll become president. So therefore, because I am smart and I know that you have to combine both things, toughness and also brains, and that a Jewish fist has to be attached to a good Jewish head, that's why I do the things that I do.
I disagree with you.
Well, that's what makes ball games, and that's what makes me and you.
All right. Thank you for your call. You're on WMCA. Hello, New Jersey.
Yes, Bob. This is Marion calling.
Yes.
I would like to ask the rabbi why our Jewish leaders haven't given more publicity to the anti-Semitism that is going on in Mexico, where Jews who have lived there many years are fleeing, and why they have not organized another boycott of that country.
Well, I don't know about, Mexico. I don't know. I certainly do know that there's anti-Jewish feeling there, and it's been there for many, many, many years. I think that what happens is that the Jews of Mexico are the ones that are keeping the thing quiet. If you've ever been there, and if you've ever spoken to the average Mexican Jew, the last thing that they want is noise. Now, I think that they're wrong, but in this case, it's not only the fault of Jewish leaders here, it's the fault of Mexican Jews themselves.
Okay, I just want you to know I've been to Mexico, I'm going to California, and I will not step foot in Mexico.
Okay, good enough.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Marianne. If you're calling from Long Island, use 883-WMCA. From Westchester County, use 237-WMCA. New Jersey, of course, 360-WMCA. Hello.
Hello, my name is Eric.
Yes.
And there's one point that brought up on TV, on radio, or anywhere. I went to an all-black school, right? I'm white. When you hear them talk, they think that them and the Arabs are the same race. Therefore, they think they have a brotherhood with the Arabs. They don't need the Jewish help anymore. Therefore, they've turned against. If any black ever teaches you black history, he tells you all Egyptians are black. He doesn't teach you that Arabs are a mixed race or anything. Therefore, what Jackson has done, he has proven it.
You know, I think that it's only right in a sense of irony, an ironic sense, that Jackson is backing the blacks, Arabs, and the Arabs are backing Jackson, since in such great measure the Arabs are so, they as the slave traders are responsible mostly for the fact that blacks were sold as slaves. That kind of a thing is not taught. That's also the incredible part of a willingness of people like Jackson, because of Arab money that is coming to him, and I'll challenge him on that. He is getting Arab money. He will overlook all of the horrors done to blacks by Arabs, because he doesn't care about blacks. Jesse Jackson cares about one person in this world, and that's Jesse Jackson.
So you agree with me, sir?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you very much.
All right, I thank you. 343-WMCA, Mayor Kahana, and you are on WMCA. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
My name is Don, and I'm calling... Mr. Kahana seems to represent, obviously, the a Jewish position that he's taken, and I'm raising a question as far as why we don't have people from Italy, from Germany, come over here and represent a position to the Italian and German people. It seems obvious that one group of people constantly seems to represent or try to influence the Jewish vote. And I'm not taking sides. I'm not taking the side of Jesse Jackson or anyone else. In fact, in the last, I remember Mayor Koch tried to influence President Carter on his position at the UN.
All right, if you're asking, sincerely seeking to learn something, I think maybe you've come to the right place. Mayor Kahana?
Yeah, well, you know, I can think of congressmen of Greek origin who attempted to influence U.S. policy on the Greek-Turkish issue. And I can see where black congressmen have you know, used their own particular paradigm on the question of Africa. And if anyone who is of any ethnic background would like, because of that background, and because he feels closer to that background, which is only natural, then that is an American way. I'm a U.S. citizen, a dual citizen, which under U.S. law is illegal. And you can be a dual citizen of any country. And the fact is that you know that Polish citizens of this country, or, you know, citizens of Polish origin, have certainly and rightly so used their influence to support a policy of get tough against the Polish government. That is the American way.
Well, it is in a sense. I guess I resent more the fact that the mayor of this city actually misrepresented himself as representing everyone when he was influencing President Carter about his UN position.
Well, I don't know. I think that if, a Jimmy Walker would have made some statement about Ireland, then I don't think you would have been so angry.
Let me say to you, what'd you say your name was?
Don.
Don.
Right.
If you read His Honor's book, Mayor, you'll find that time and time again, the Jimmy Carter White House was trying to use the mayor to be Jimmy Carter's liaison with the Jewish community.
Yes.
They used him. He didn't use them.
I would agree to that. However, he was playing to the hilt, in fact, that he would deliver the Jewish vote.
I don't think he ever told Jimmy Carter anywhere that he was going to deliver the Jewish vote.
That was implied, and in fact, the synopsis of his book was written.
I think the Carter White House thought it was, but this is off the subject. But in all fairness, I think the Carter White House made a mistake. They just didn't know. What do you expect from them? Okay, thank you.
You, right.
I'm WMCA. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on with Mayor Kahana. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to ask Rabbi Kahana about these demonstrations at the front of the Bank Leumi. What's his opinion on this?
I don't know what it's about. I got back just four or five days ago, so I don't know what these demonstrations are, frankly.
The Bank Leumi, about the digging of the...
Yeah, he doesn't know, sir. I thank you. At WMCA, we're forging ahead here, trying to get in as many calls as we can for Rabbi Mayor Kahana. Hello, you're on the air, and back to the New York line.
Mr. Kahana.
Yes.
What have Jews done for blacks?
Have Jews done for blacks? If I had three hours, I might answer that. The fact is that there is this immense myth of a black-Jewish partnership. There never was a black-Jewish partnership. A partnership is when you give and I give. It was a one-way street, beginning with a Julius Rosenwald of Sears Roebuck, who gave millions of dollars to black colleges when a dollar was worth 100 pennies. And going on to the fact that every president of the NAACP until recently was a Jew. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you that Schwerner and Goodman marched in Mississippi and were shot for blacks. Now, Jews march for blacks in the South. I can't recall in all the demonstrations that I was at for Russian Jews, blacks marching for Russian Jews. In fact, I can't recall blacks marching for black Jews in Ethiopia. So there never was any partnership and alliance. That's all a myth made up by the Schindlers of this world, the liberals. and it's about time that we said it.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd like to speak to Mayor Kahana.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I would like to know if you're convinced that Mondale would make a statement that he won't have anything to do with Jesse Jackson because of Louis Farrakhan. Because if he gets nominated at the convention and then Jackson endorses him, he'll get a nice portion of the black vote, which means a lot to him, more than the Jewish vote.
Well, first of all, I think that Jewish money means more to him than almost anything else. That's a big, big chunk for him. I think that if Walter Mondale isn't man enough to come out against this black Ku Klux Klaner, then he's not the kind of a person that you want to see president. If he's the kind of a person who will sell an ideal, a principle, because of black votes, think what he's going to do in the case of Israel with Arab oil, or in the case of almost anything. I think he's a pretty weak wimp anyhow. Nevertheless, I think that we should give him this chance and make it quite clear to him that he has to choose now, and let him choose.
I see. Okay, thank you.
All right, now thank you, sir. On our New Jersey line, you're on WMCA. Hello.
Hello, Bob. My name is Helen.
Yes, Helen.
I want to ask the rabbi a few questions.
Go right ahead.
One, rabbi, recall the time when you had an ad in the paper saying that you were going to pick a station, WBAI. And the reason for that was that they had hired a black commentator who was busy spouting anti-Semitism. You wanted equal time, and the station refused to give it to you. And a group of us went to Manhattan from another borough. And someone said to you when you finally came out, because the station had called you in with Mrs. Raybaum, the attorney, why didn't you beat him up? So you said, we Jewish people don't do that. We try to reason. Then another time, then another thing, why don't you remind all the listeners that you and a number of the youth were very, very instrumental in having the Russians really release the Russian Jews from Russia? Not Rabbi Schindler, not the Anti-Defamation League, not the American Jewish Congress. They all got the credit and you had to keep him out of it. Why?
Well, listen, I don't want credit. I just want the Russian Jews out. However, about that quote which you quoted, that I said, and we're talking there about Les Campbell, who had read on station WBAI a poem beginning, "Hey Jew Boy." I never, ever made any comment that we Jews reason. We Jews reason with reasonable people.
No, Rabbi.
And we break the legs of unreasonable anti-Semites. Now, I mean, I can't put it more clearly than that. The only reason why we didn't get at Les Campbell was because I was arrested by the police. But really and truly, Les Campbell was... And by the way, Les Campbell with Albert Vann, and that's an important thing. You know, I think you've given me this great opening here.
Al Vann, head of the Jackson campaign in New York
State. That's right. Al Vann, state assemblyman. Al Vann, who may run for mayor in 85. Al Vann, anti-Semite, white hater. Al Vann, and nobody says a word about Al Vann. I remember Vann and Campbell. They were the two, I mean, open Jew haters. And here is Al Vann, now lionized by Time magazine. Alexander Schindler has nothing to say about Vann. Nobody has anything to say about Vann. Well, I do. I can't begin to understand this triple standard here.
Rabbi, can I say another thing, please? There is an entertainer by the name of Joey Bishop. He was given a spot, say, against Jack Parr and I think Merv Griffin.
Are we going to get off the subject here?
Suddenly he introduces Jesse Jackson, and Jesse Jackson had sent a telegram demanding that he fly him out to California where he was broadcasting from, and he had paid for all of this. Jesse Jackson is a demander.
Yeah, but I don't blame Jesse Jackson. I blame Joey Bishop.
What?
Let me tell you something. Jackson's right. There are a whole bunch of Jaimes out there. The fact of the matter is we have to stop being Jaimes. We have to stand up and punch this guy's headlights out. I don't blame Jackson for pushing. If I push you and you step back, it's guaranteed that I will push you again. When he pushes, when he demands, you stand up and you say no.
All right. Thank you very much. WMCA, hello. You're on the air.
I just wondered, Rabbi, I found that, you know, you can find anti-Semitism in so many millions and millions of places. Supposedly, there's the B'nai B'rith Anti-Defamation League here in New York, and calling them, really nothing is done about it. And I'm just wondering, you know, you go and you try to see things, and they say, well, you know, what can I say? And go do it yourself. That's you know, which is pretty impossible to some of the huge tasks. And I wonder how things can be changed.
Well, you can, of course, change it by joining the JDL. I mean, there is more than one letter difference between ADL and JDL. There's a world of difference.
Thank you very much. Let's try to squeeze in one more call for Rabbi Kahana on WMCA. Hello.
Hello, Bob. This is Alice.
Yes, Alice.
Actually, I am not Jewish, but I am so glad that this rabbi sees things so wisely, especially where Jackson is concerned. I have already said to my friends who turn to me and say, well, I consider voting for Jackson for president because he's so intelligent. And I said, has it occurred to you that intelligence that is merely ruthless is a danger? This is the way I see it. I think our country is in jeopardy with this man.
I think you're absolutely right.
I love America. I think we're a wonderful country.
Alice, I appreciate your call. I thank you very much. Rabbi Kahana, you are going to be here ensconced in the United States for how long this time?
Only for another three and a half weeks because I have to get back for the campaign for the Knesset. And I really came here only because of Jackson. I feel that strongly about the threat to this entire country. He's growing. He's becoming big. He will get a power base, he and his henchmen. And the Rainbow Coalition, this insidious thing made up of... And by the way, Jackson is not an intelligent guy. He's shrewd. He's shrewd like a snake. He's not intelligent. He just breathes on the guilt and the fears of people. That's his strength. So I'll be here, and especially this climax on May 20th, this trip out to Chicago. And I really urge people, you don't have to be Jewish to dislike Jackson. I mean, you really don't. Just pick up that telephone at 934-1223. That's a better number, 934-1223. And say, I would like to come to Chicago and stand up for my country. And we'll be happy to have you. If they...
fashion either, sometimes hardball fashion, when we get back together. I never heard two Jews throw scripture at each other. I'm going to throw a piece back at you momentarily. First, WMCA, Strauss Communications, New York.
It's on now, New York and New Jersey. Trader
is my very first, the very first extremist I ever met. Some people say he's a fanatic. He's the nicest extremist. He smiles. He doesn't look like one of these people just raised and weaned and seethed on hatred and vengeance and violence. How in the world could my Eric Kahana grow up this way? I know for a fact. He used to go to Ebbets Field and cheer for Dixie Walker. I would love to know that grasshopper jump between there and being the number one big name Jewish terrorist in Israel.
What in the world makes you think that people who hold views that are controversial, that are different, are not human beings too? I think that is one of the terrible problems that so-called moderates and worse liberals have. They want to believe that someone whose views differ strongly from theirs are somehow not quite normal. They want to believe that a conservative must be a little old lady in tennis shoes. That's not true. The fact of the matter is that vengeance is indeed a very, very important trait in Judaism and in humanity. If we did not want vengeance, then we would spit in the graves of 6 million Jews. And vengeance and the desire for it is that which makes us seethe with hatred against evil.
Are you saying that the Jews should sally forth and kill 6 million Germans?
No, but what I am saying is that no Jew should ever visit Germany. Israel should not have diplomatic ties with Germany. And I think that we cheapen the 6 million by this absurd concept. Well, it's time to forget. It's not up to us to forget. How dare we assume the role of the dead six million? I think that we have cheapened it by buying German goods because they are cheaper, by having Shamir invite Chancellor Kohl to Germany for economic reasons. For economic reasons, so that they will get more marks. I think it's outrageous. I certainly don't want to go killing Germans. I want nothing to do with them.
Meir, I would be quite crestfallen if a black Meir Kahana advised his followers, and it'd be worse if, like you, he were charismatic and had a lot of excited followers. I would be crestfallen if he were to say, "Don't forgive the American South. You are cheapening the memory of slaves who died in torture and poverty and deprivation if you have anything to do with the South." When I was 22, I was running around being like a Meir Kahana, desegregating our stadium and making the university admit blacks and so forth. I can't atone for slavery. I never owned a slave. West Germany is the strongest democracy in Europe. We're down to our last book of matches on a windy beach. We've got about 18 good democracies left. Israel happens to be one. It needs every democratic ally it can get. West Germany's history with Israel has been one of friendship. They have been very good friends, and I certainly don't hold Helmut Kohl accountable for the late Adolf Hitler.
Well, I certainly think that what you said is absolutely not true. What Germany has done has been to repay money in money for Jewish blood. The fact that Germany has backed Israel, well, so has France and so has Holland and other countries, until they suddenly take stands which are against Israel. Who is about to sell the leopard tanks Arabia, if not West Germany? So West Germany deserves absolutely no credit and no medals for anything. The money that they have given Israel is money for Jewish property taken from Jews. It is a despicable effort to trade away the pass for German marks. When Menachem Begin was a Menachem Begin, he marched on the Knesset in 1952, leading 100,000 people to oppose that entire agreement. He said, let's not take their money, because it must come to it that if we take their money, we will eventually establish ties with them. Now, Begin was disappointed us in so many, many ways. This is simply one more way. And to compare black slavery to the deliberate extermination of an entire people is outrageous.
All right.
Now, if I wanted to, I could say that the Jews should boycott every single European nation for what they did during the Crusade and the Middle Ages.
And in America, too.
That's true. However, there is certainly a great difference between persecution and extermination.
I agree with you.
The Germans are different in this historical sense.
Fine. If it's blood you want to deal in, if it's body counts you want to deal in, I agree with you, and I'll meet you. There is a tremendous difference between apartheid in South Africa and Hitler's extermination of the Jews, and I am first to leap if anybody tries to fuzz that over. I was not trying to fuzz that over, and I'll prove it by jumping to the analogy, which I'm grateful that you remind me of, instead of the black in the South. Let's go to the Armenian in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You think the Armenians should hold today's Turks accountable for the massacres of 1915?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for making
and
our
even
differences
more so,
razor sharp.
And
thank
even
you.
More so, because the Turks aren't even prepared to do what the Germans did, making hoes of the fact that there was this massacre. I think that's outrageous.
That makes my point, I think, in my heart, stronger. The Germans at least have. Now, when I said that Germany was Israel's best friend, you immediately went into a long essay about money, which I didn't want to interrupt because I'd like to know more about that Wiedergutmachung, the making good and the financial restitution. One of my dear friends, Milton Kestenberg, represented the Jews of America at the table in Kassel, Germany, where these claims were negotiated. Very interested in that process. I was not referring to Germany's money or blood money to Israel. There's something in the Talmud that says, and if you ask me which verse, I promise to hide under the table. I don't know, but I can go get Leo Rosten's Treasury of Jewish Quotations from the other room, and at least it may have come from Zohar. I don't know, but there's a line of Jewish doctrine that says the spendings of the rich are more important than their charities, which is pretty good economic. That's the trickle-down theory. That's supply-side economics. You know, who cares if rich people are rich? Let them spend, and that lifts everybody. I'm referring to West Germany's being prosperous, being strong, being a bulwark to discourage Soviet adventurism or aggression in Europe. It is one of the great democratic pearls on the necklace, larger, more powerful than Israel. Israel fills its rightful role in the Middle East. Who could imagine a strong pro-West democracy in the Middle East? It's nothing less than a political blessing. But that's why I say Germany is Israel's friend. They are both strong, able democracies doing their job. If Germany were a vacuum, the Soviet Union would already be swimming in the English Channel.
Germany is interested in nothing except in Germany. And it's the same with France, the same with Belgium, the same with Holland. And let's stop this here nonsense. Germany is a country which has grave stirrings today, both right and left. But I'm not interested in that. You don't wipe away the past. Not that kind of a past. This isn't a question that they oppressed Jews or persecuted Jews. That's something else. This is a nation which steps into the shoes of the Jewish concept of Amalek. And that is, in the Bible, a nation that is eternally cursed for what it attempted to do, to wipe out the Jewish people. I'm not interested in their democracy. I don't want their help. I don't want their money. I don't want anything of them. They destroyed 6 million and would have, if they could have, destroyed the entire Jewish people. That's one in, not in a lifetime, in history. In history. I buy nothing from them. I want nothing from them. I want nothing from them. And you don't cut off history after 30 years. No. Well, after the Inquisition in Spain, the rabbis put a ban on Spain for 500 years. Now, that wasn't their kahuna. That was the rabbis.
Was it good doctrine? Was it good policy? Did it square with what is proper? Not by me. I can't improve the past. I can only improve the future. Certainly, I have nothing to do with any war criminal. But, I mean, biologically, the sins of the fathers, biologically, the Germans who are voting today and within 5 years will run West Germany, we're not even alive.
That's not relevant.
No, my ear, look, forgive me. I feel like that little guy in the bar beside a big guy, and the big guy looks down, the little guy says, "You call me a liar?" And the little guy says, "Oh, no. I'm just telling you what a liar I am if you're telling the truth."
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you how unfull of hatred I am about Germans who had no role in the Holocaust. I am grateful that you are giving non-Jewish listeners a razor-sharp iron curtain cross-sect. Here it is from a little helicopter looking over the Jewish battlefield. There's my Meir Kahana, and he states his opinions better than anybody else states any opinions of any kind. I'm not as skilled an opinion stater in that regard, but I just want you to know that I will not ban Germany for 500 years. I won't ban a German for 5 minutes unless he's guilty.
Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous difference between the German as an individual German and Germany as Germany and German products as part of a German national concept. I speak to Germans individually. Of course I do. An 18-year-old German.
You speak to Arab militants individually because I saw you.
That's true. That's true.
You did, and over these microphones.
No, but I will not boycott Germans as Germans per se. But I certainly will say that Germany as a nation And Germany, as any national concept, has got to be beyond the pale for the Jewish people.
Oddly enough, we haven't even touched what I brought you here for. I brought you here for two major stories. One is tell us about the Jewish underground, which the American media calls terrorists. And I also want you to deal with the tremendous let's start with the Jewish underground.
All right, I think that it's that we Americans have a terrible habit. We start in the middle of something. We say, all right, let's start now. Well, you don't start now. Things have a past. There's prologue. We have to understand that things that are happening now have a reason in the past. We have a serious problem today in Israel, and it's called Arabs.
All right, hold it. We'll get right back to that. First, WMC ever sits back and writes a textbook for revolutionaries. I know I've read his writing. The best piece of political invective ever written came from the hand of Meir Kahana, and I'm sure some of the advice he'd give would be unsubtle. I bet you he knows how to say that, not just in Hebrew. I bet you Meir Kahana can say that in Aramaic. Be unsubtle. For instance, whereas others who feel like Meir Kahana may write a book entitled Impending Perplexities of Expanding and Amending Demographics in the Territory of Israel, Meir Kahana entitled that book They Must Go. That's being unsubtle.
Yes, they must go, and if they don't go, you will have a Jewish underground. That's exactly the problem. You have frustrated people, angry people, Jews who live in a Jewish state which was originally meant to be a haven for them, where attacks upon Jews would not be. Now, I'm not talking about war. War can always be, even in a sovereign Jewish state. But the old city of Jerusalem is not Brooklyn. It's not Brooklyn. We didn't dream that in the old city of Jerusalem, or in fact, in the new city, the Jews would be afraid to walk in fear of bombing, or that Arabs would suddenly pop up and start shooting at the Times Square of the city on King George Street. Now, the fact of the matter is that this government is incapable of dealing with it. It's just incapable. It is a weak government. It has no policy.
How would the Kahana regime deal with it?
Well, I can tell you that if I were the prime minister, there would be no Jewish underground. There would be no need for one. Not one Arab would be beaten. Not one Arab would be killed.
And not one Arab would be there.
That's right.
All right. How would you, boxcars like Stalin, extermination camps like Hitler? What would your recipe be?
Well, you know, let me first answer. You know, that's such a crazy loaded question.
Nobody ever got shot by a question he didn't know was loaded.
No question about it. No, I mean I'm not hiding from it. Obviously not. When the Poles and the Czechs in 1945, and the Poles and Czechs were pretty decent people, expelled 12 million ethnic Germans from their territories, Silesian, Danzig, Sudetenland. Anybody get uptight and say, well, boxcar? Of course not.
Wait a minute.
It was ratified at Potsdam.
Wait. Hold it, Meyer.
Huh?
Of course not, because these were your Germans who I'll ban for 500 years. These were your aiders and abettors. This was the mall.
The men and the women and the children.
Yes, they were
the little children too.
I am surprised. They were the marvelous people who gave Adolf Hitler the power base, geographically the size of Texas, with which he conquered a territory the size of the United States of America. So I mean, don't just say that all of a sudden the Czechs and the Poles yawned one morning and said, "Look, these people are in the way."
That's exactly right. In other words, there was a good reason.
Historical, yes. They had made a war of aggression and lost it.
That's right. In short, what you had were Germans who, despite the fact that they had lived there for hundreds of years, nevertheless were more German than Polish, more German than Czech, and aided the German. Now, that's precisely the problem today in the state of Israel. I find it incredible that Jews have such contempt for the Arabs, such contempt for them, that they believe that Arabs are just eager to get up and sing the Israeli national anthem with the words, "The soul of a Jew yearning." And that's incredible. I mean, you can imagine how much joy the Arab has living in a country with a law of return which applies only to Jews. I mean, he is just a great patriot. I don't have contempt for Arabs. I respect them because I'm a nationalist and I understand what other nationalists are. The Arab hates Israel, and I understand him. He understands me. Neither of us can understand Jews. The fact of the matter is that I understand that he wants to live in a Palestine. Now, that doesn't mean that he wants to leave Israel. Oh, no. He wants Israel to become Palestine, and he will do so not through bullets, but through babies. But through babies. Babies. It's democracy. What happens if Gaddafi tomorrow morning suddenly becomes smart and he makes... What happens then when the cry goes out, the Arabs make love, not war, and every night they make love and they make babies, and suddenly 61 Arabs sitting in the Knesset, and they are... This is democracy, a majority. Do you think that they will allow a Jewish state to stay there? Of course not.
Now, for the last 4.5 minutes, you've been talking demography, not demagogy, but demography and political science. But you are down from the vengefulness.
Oh, no. Now, therefore, that is the problem. Now I will come to the solution. So, therefore, the answer is precisely what the Czechs and the Germans did. Now, no one asked them, well, how are you going to do it? I'll tell you, if I were the Minister of Defense, if God would only be so good for 6 months and allow Meir Kahane to be the Minister of Defense of Israel, it would be one of the great moments of history. I would get up immediately and I would say, gentlemen and ladies, I am offering you an option. Any Arab who's ready to leave willingly, nicely, quietly, will receive full compensation for all his property, which is more, by the way, more than the Arabs did for the 700,000 Jews who were thrown out of Arab countries in 1948. And any Arab who was not ready
and
to...
And many who are still under great fear and persecution.
Sure. And any Arab who was not ready to do so, I would throw out.
Oh, I'm sorry. You ruined the punchline. We'll get back together. We'll play it back again. Fiction. Get that smirk off your face. Science fiction has come true, a great deal of it. I guess 90% of what was science fiction when I was 4 years old is true today. I mean, you know, messages flying through the air, people crossing and oceans and just a very few hours. Meir Kahane suggests some political science fiction. Suppose there is a Kahane presidency of Israel. And suppose, like they do in communist countries, you know, why waste time paying so many people for the same? Let them have also the prime ministership and also the ministership of defense and perhaps, you know, one or two other portfolios, Ministry of Public Works or something, just to make sure he doesn't get bored. If there were a Kahane stewardship over Israel, he's now telling us what he would do. He would first of all say, hello, Arab neighbors, inside Israel. And by Israel, he means greater Israel. Just take a deep breath and hold it. That's the Israel he means. He does not mean with that eviscerated West Bank, Judea and Samaria, sliced right out of what he considers true Israel. He does not mean a 16-mile strip separating what used to be Jordan from the Mediterranean Sea and Tel Aviv. He means that Israel. I presume you also mean Golan, and I presume you also mean Gaza.
Well, certainly.
Not Cairo, not Amman.
If we have
not
no right
Damascus,
to
not Beirut.
No, if we have no right to the so-called territories of 1967, then we have no right to Tel Aviv. Abraham never walked on Dizengoff Street in Tel Aviv. Abraham lived on what we call today the West Bank, in Hebron and in Shechem, and David was born in Bethlehem. That's the second Jew, okay? The fact of the matter is that if our claim to all the kibbutzim which were built in 1920 is valid only because of our claim to the West Bank. I mean, I find it incredible for Jews to question that. If we have no right to Hebron, then I think that every Jew should pick himself up and go back to Russia or to Poland or to America.
All right. So Meir Kahane would say, Arabs of Israel.
Yes.
This is going to be a Jewish state. We have long excruciated. Oh, wait, maybe I can be a Meir Kahane speechwriter if broadcasting doesn't work out. We have long excruciated over the dilemma, pause for effect, should Israel be a Jewish state, or should Israel be a democracy? We have decided that Israel shall be, as it was originally intended, a Jewish state. We will give unto you compensation, you who leave graciously. You who do not leave graciously will be shipped to the nearest Israeli border checkpoint, and with the sole of an Israeli combat boot in your rear, you will be pushed ever so gently across to the Arab side, whereupon you will not be permitted to return to the territory of Israel.
I think that you put that very well. And in time, you would like to write speeches for me in any language, you can do so.
No, I'm sorry. I got the words, but not the melody. I don't know how I would handle it. I can see your point. I wish there were a nicer way in the traditional image of the well-meaning American Jew.
So do I. So do I. So do I wish there were a nicer way. But sometimes there is not a nicer way. Every time I get into a discussion with some people about what is nice or not nice, I think back to the bombing of German cities in World War II. I cannot, for the life of me, recall, and I was not that young, I can't recall a single Jew getting up and demonstrating against the bombing of German cities in World War II, despite the fact that they weren't killing generals there. The fact is that that was the last sane war in which we knew that there is an enemy, and you either fight the enemy or you don't fight the enemy. And if that bombing brought that war one day closer, sooner, to an end, and saved 5,000 Jews in Auschwitz, of course that's worth it. First, don't fight. I'm not a Quaker. Quakers don't fight. If the Quakers would have been in power in this country, 18 million Jews would have been dead, and all the Quakers too. This isn't moral. This isn't. There is a perversion of ethics here, and morality. There is a perversion. The Bible says there is a time for peace, and there is a time for war. We have to know when it's so. And the Talmud says that one who has mercy upon the cruel will someday be cruel unto the merciful. And that's what we're seeing in El Salvador today with all the, with. I can't believe that Americans are so crazy. You don't have mercy upon people who would bring horror upon the world. You don't do that. That is not ethics. That is immorality cloaked in the garb of liberalism.
My ear, I've got to talk. Tachlis.
Tachlis,
yeah.
Right,
tachlis. What does that mean? The way I translate it is we got to get down to the burlap.
That's not bad. That's about the best, the closest to Yiddish that you could possibly get.
Yeah. All right. Maybe some of you listening used to be champion sprinters. And maybe you're 50 and you have a little belly. But you remember those days and you see those trophies and you get out there and these young whippersnappers are going to learn a thing or two from you, and you got your Adidas running shoes and you got that old jock strap fitting you, whoop-de-doo, like, you know, just like a bear hugging you down there, giving you support. And you're going to get that T-shirt, and you're going to wait till all the girls are lining the avenue. You're going to wait for maximum traffic because you're going to show these younger runners what it's like and how it's done. Next morning in the intensive care unit, your crying wife is saying, "Oh, darling, speak to me. Let me know you can hear me. Squeeze my hand." Okay. In other words, pal, you overdid it. You didn't have it anymore. You used to have it, and you don't have it anymore. Now, my ear, I'm not pointing the bony finger of indignation downward, because what I say about Israel could apply to my own beloved America. I don't think either population has it anymore. I don't think America has it in its gut work to do what it did to defend itself in World War II. And I'm waging my own kind of my air kahana. I have some of your isotopes and some of those hormones. And in my own way, a little writing, a little broadcasting, a little speaking to organizations, I'm doing my thing to help rekindle that awareness of the difference between aggression and defending and to realize that there are two forces in the world today. One, the Soviets, essentially expansive. They take the initiatives. We do the reacting. Look what they've done over the past 30 years. What are we going to do? Belgians holding hands and singing We Shall Overcome because they don't like American air bases. On things like this, I may be mistaken for my Air Kahana. Oh, if only there could be some by some miracle, I could be Secretary of Defense for 6 months. Is that what you said or something like that? Oh, if only I could be Secretary of Defense for 6 months. I would demand, I wouldn't sit there hoping to weather out, hoping to tough through the Green Party of West Germany and the Dutch anti-nuclear people and the Belgian folk singers ringing American air bases. I would put a tough hand on a table and I'd say, look, you NATO countries, let us end once and for all the suspicion that we want to come over there and build bases for us. We are engaged in something we used to call collective security. That means free men band together for each other. Collective security, little Belgium, does not mean that we secure and you collect. Got it? Now, before we will commit one combat boot to Belgium, we want a referendum. We demand a United Nations observers, American elect. I want a battalion of American political scientists to come down by helicopter at the polling places in Antwerp, in Mons, in Utrecht, in Breda, in Groningen, all over the Low Countries. We want our observers there to make sure it's a fair election. If, and I don't want any 50%, if 55 to 60% of your people say, yes, we want to help defend the Western world, then and only then will we come. Now, I was a little overlong because I want to show you that I'm not coming at you from the American Jewish liberal perspective. When we get back together.
I never doubted that, Barry.
All right, we'll get right back into a clinch. First, we haven't got any more. America and, America's a 70-year-old jogger. Israel's a 50-year-old jogger. But we both have little bellies. And if we try to be our old selves, we're going to wake up in the intensive care unit. I'm saying that, and believe me, don't be offended, I have scored low votes in election, too, and that did not change my beliefs about things. You don't have the Israeli population with you. Now, why? Is there a left-wing media blackout over you in Israel? I suggest the Israeli population is more moderate. Let's make, there are 500,000 people turned out in Israel. Do you know what 500,000 is in Israel? That's like everybody in the United States west of the Mississippi.
It's also not true.
Well, that's what come on now, is it?
It's also not true. I mean, Barry, you who know what the press is here, what makes you think that the press is different there? If they were,
of course I figure the press is different there. It's Israel.
No, it's not. It's not Israel. It's a Western Hebrew-speaking
country. The New York Times runs all the papers in Israel?
No, but the New York Times is not a paper. It's a concept. And there's a concept of the Times there. It isn't a paper. It's a concept of self-hating, bleeding-heart liberals, and we've got the same sickness there, too. And that's the tragedy, and you're very, very right. Israel is not what it once was. And the proof is that they don't elect me. That is the proof.
I stop short of that, folks. If you think I'm going to step up on the pedestal and say the same thing about them, I know, include me out. Go ahead.
The tragic thing is that precisely because we have lost that tremendous will, we're tired, we've become corrupted by the material liberal values. Political science begins with values. Everything begins with values. There was a time when in Israel, people ate tomatoes, eggs. Who had meat? Tomatoes, eggs. That was when they were tough and strong. Today, it's color TV and video tapes and everything else and so on. And so they're not ready to fight and be strong, and that's the problem. That's the problem. Of course, you're absolutely right. But I'm correct, and they're wrong. And where in the world did we corrupt the democratic concept by believing that democracy is synonymous with truth? Democracy has to be, because otherwise there is anarchy. But it doesn't mean that the majority is correct. Indeed, I can't think of a single great thing in history that was ever done by the majority of the people.
You can get more pork per square acre between the Carlton Hotel and the Sheraton Hotel in Tel Aviv, Israel, than you can find in any similar area in North Carolina.
I'm quite sure.
How do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, I feel terrible about that because I think that being Jewish is more than racism. I think that anyone gets up and says, I'm proud of being a Jew. And what kind of stuff is nonsense? What do you mean? What do you mean you're proud of being a Jew? Be proud of being a human being. Be proud of being a Jew. I'm proud of being a Jew if being Jewish is different. It's special. Part of being special is not eating pork. Part of not being special is caring about people and giving of yourself. Now, there are a lot of people that eat pork and give of themselves. There are a lot of people that don't eat pork and don't give of themselves. I'd like to see people that don't eat pork and give of themselves. I want Jews to be Jewish for a reason and not for just racism.
All right. Now, that jogger who's 50 is not going to take any vitamin so that he's going to be legally 49 on his next birthday and 48 after that. When we get back together, I wish we could continue right this minute. It won't be long. Won't be long. Relax. When we continue, I was afraid you would say, no, Barry, they all want to vote my way, but they're all kind of shenanigans. You admit the population is not what it was. When we get back together, I want to know if you think there's any way to restore it. Born in Brooklyn, rabbi, Orthodox, cheered for Dixie Walker in Ebbets Field, won over, founded the Jewish Defense League, went to Israel, ran for the Knesset many times, led demonstrations. Yeah, Meir Kahana is the man who I think is worth an autobiography. Not just because everybody likes him, but because he is the man on top of the problem that, like it or not, is headed toward Israel with express train speed. Hate to have the job of following Meir Kahana and trying to put his point into more temperate language so the liberals of the town can sleep. In other words, can't you have it? In politics, they have advance men. Can you see wrap up, clean up men who come to the town the next day and say, no, he didn't mean a Nazi style expulsion. He didn't mean a Spanish Inquisition kind of thing. What he meant was as benevolent as possible, offer compensation to the Arabs, transport them to the border in cushioned buses without bombs in them. Do not separate families. Don't even make cousins take separate buses. We'll just get more buses. It'll be the most humanitarian kind of thing you've ever seen on four wheels. However, he wants to make Israel a Jewish state. Now, is that so bad? Is that so shocking? That's what it was supposed to be in the first place. Well, you've heard that before, hadn't you, folks, here in Shreveport, a Jewish state? Not such a radical. He just wants to go back to it. That's all good old Meir is up to. Be a tough job. Be a tough job because Meir himself is in writing between hardcovers of a book entitled They Must Go. And what he means is the Arab population must go. That's very easy for an American, Jewish, non-Jewish, liberal or not, to say, oh, that's mean. That's mean. Who ought to go? I mean, going is not nice. It ain't fitting. And do we really want to endorse the communist expulsion of German citizens from territories they had inhabited for hundreds of years after World War II? We overlook it at the time. Meir Kahana is a brilliant student of history. We did condone that without batting an eye because Germany was the hated, defeated population. We didn't care what happened to those people. Sure, Poland was our friend. That was the victim. Let Poland have its territory back. Czechoslovakia, an early celebrity victim of Adolf Hitler. Let them have the territory. But Meir, you know good and well, you're not going to get away with it. You are not going to fool. The New York Times wouldn't permit it. The American Jewish population wouldn't permit it. And I'm afraid the Israeli population would not permit it.
Well, I think that the Times is not relevant. And,
oh, come on. My mother told me not to practice sarcasm north of Richmond. But
It isn't. They can really, really take it and shove it, you know, to put it in good Hebrew. As far as American Jews are concerned, certainly that's a problem. American Jews bleed for everybody, including lettuce and grapes. But the fact of the matter is that in the end, if I believe that the very existence of Israel as a Jewish state is at stake, then I wouldn't care about what they said either. The third party that you mentioned, the Jews inside Israel, well, that's the difference. And I want to tell you that there were two kinds there. They are the sane ones, predominantly the Sephardic Jews. They are the last. They are as yet untouched by college professors, so they have sanity still. They lived under Arabs. They know what Arabs are. They don't live in an ivory tower. They don't sit and pontificate and write theories which have no relevance to the real world. They are the people that have voted Consul Begin, and they are the people that I'm convinced that on July 23rd will vote Kahana, because there is no Begin for the first time. The polls in Israel for the first time are showing with two seats, three seats. This is the first time that that has ever happened. So,
can you imagine if you win a seat?
I can tell you that the Knesset will never be the same.
But I thought you were always in jail. Every time I pick up
No, you're right. But if you're in the Knesset, you're taken out of jail. That's one of the beauties of Israel. It will be a great day. I can tell you the Knesset will never be... There will be a holiday each and every day in that Knesset. It will be a great moving moment. And if you're in Israel during the campaigning, I'd like to take you with me to a Sephardic town and see what the normal people of Israel...
You got a deal, partner.
Okay.
You didn't call me last time I was there. You called Bob Grant. I was very jealous. This time I'll call you.
Okay.
All right.
You just let me know, and we'll have a ball there.
By the way, I know that there are communists in the Knesset. There are Arabs in the Knesset. Are there any Arab communists in the Knesset, the Israeli parliament?
Oh, yes, certainly. The Rakach Communist Party is made up of, at present, four Knesset members, two of whom are Arabs.
All right, when we get back together, I want to see if I can read the mind of an Arab communist sitting in the parliament of Israel. Now I want to tell you about Kissingerism. First, WM's known Jewish right-wing fanatic extremist, small-t terrorist. These are the things that he is accused of. And he smiles. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't hold his heart and gasp for breath and say, "Wait a minute. No lawyer's going to call me tomorrow." My Eric Kahana has had it all before and heard it all before. Whether he's been it all before or not is up to him to tell us. Now, we are now, for this next drama, not just a non-Jew in the Parliament of Israel. We are not just an Arab in the Parliament of Israel. We are an Arab communist in the Parliament of Israel. I love democracy. I mean, the mere fact that there are Arab communists in the Israeli Parliament, I've got enough American Jewish liberal about me. I'm sorry I left my Kleenex in my other pants. I'd like to dab a tear of sheer joy from the edges of both eyes that Israeli democracy is confident enough so that it lives up to its principles and admits not just an Arab and not just a communist, but Arab communists in its own parliament. All I want to know is this. I want to know what goes on behind the brow of an Arab communist in the Israeli parliament. Does he say, "Wow, my belief in totalitarian Arab Marxism, I mean, where's an Arab democracy? Where anymore? Lebanon was the only one. Where is there a Marxist democracy?" I wonder if that Arab communist in the Israeli parliament ever stops to think, "My belief is shaken. This place really does set an example. Here they have a Jewish state. If they wanted to, they could step on the gas and suck us up the exhaust pipe and spit us out into the Sinai. They don't. They don't. They have elections. We get enough votes. We win. And here I am just as much a member of this parliament as any other member. Wow." I'm not going to say it, because I'm on the other side, and I'm an Arab, and I'm a communist, and I'm going to fight. But wow, I am impressed with Israeli democracy. Do you think an Arab communist mind has those thoughts?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. First of all, they're not communists, really. Just that the Communist Party of Israel is the only non-Zionist party that offers them an opportunity. First and foremost, they're Arabs. And they sit only awe-stricken at the stupidity of the government of Israel. You know, it's great to shed tears when there are four Arab communists in the Knesset, or when there were 10 Arabs in the Knesset? What do you say when there were suddenly 35 Arabs in the Knesset? Are you that joyful? How much of your liberal thought, you know, remains there? The fact is that I find it a terrible thing to allow a Tufik Zayad, the mayor of Nazareth, who is an Arab communist, and who wrote a poem during the 1973 war praising the Arab tank treads going over Jewish soldiers' bodies. I find that insanity. I find nothing liberal about that. I shed no tears of joy. I shed tears of sadness about this insanity. The reason why Jews allow them in is because, while other people breathe air, most Jews breathe guilt. And that's the problem. They have guilt feelings, and we have to show that, you see, we love you, so maybe you'll love us. Well, they don't love us. They believe that the Jews have stolen the country from them. What in the world makes you think that they are happy about the fact that after the Jews stole their country from them, as they see it, that they allow for 5, 6, 7 Arabs in the Knesset? You've got to understand how they feel. They believe that they have had their country stolen from them. That's the bottom line.
Let's get a good grip now on the other side from you, my ear. You are saying that one member of the Knesset is adorable. Four members of the Knesset.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that for, you know, those who say it's, look at that, isn't that nice? Sure, that's easy to say when there are 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
I don't want one of them there, but
I understand.
I can tell you that I'll be joined by all these liberals when suddenly the 5 become 25.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, I want to know what the other side says. I can imagine that it's a nice flight, and I want to stretch, and I walk up, you know, it's a friendly airline, I walk up into the cockpit and say good morning to the pilot, and he's sipping coffee, and I look out and say, wow, clear day, right? He says, uh-huh. I say, those clouds up ahead, those mountains. He says, mountains. I say, are they above us or below us? You know, they're above us. Well, are we going to keep going this way? Uh-huh. Well, are we going to have enough altitude to get over them or not? He says, uh-uh. I said, well, what are we going to do? He better say something besides, we'll see. Now, I want to know what the other side says. Here, we have an Israeli democracy. Arabs are free to breed. Arabs are free to vote. And time goes by, the Arab population burgeoning, the Jewish population much less. What does the other side say when you say, as you did the last time you were on, facing Muhammad Mehdi? Do you know Muhammad Mehdi got me invited to the banquet for King Hussein? Not just the banquet, the VIP part beforehand.
Good for Muhammad Mehdi.
I will greet His Majesty. Oh, yeah, definitely.
By the way, when you do, ask him that since he says that peace will come when Israel gives up East Jerusalem, just ask him what happened in 67 when he had East Jerusalem and he went to war. Could it be that he wanted West Jerusalem?
First question. Not only that, but what did he do in East Jerusalem he had? What happened to the Jewish cemeteries? What happened to the synagogue?
Right.
What was the Jordanian stewardship over East Jerusalem like in those years? No, I agree with you. If you want a world city called Jerusalem, if you want a unified Jerusalem, rejoice, brother. You've got one right now for the first time. People of all faiths are free to visit their holy places in the unified city of Jerusalem. Now then, what does the other side say? The last time you were on with Mehdi, you said at some point, you mentioned the figure, there'll be that many Arab members of the Knesset, and there'll be a resolution one day to change the name of Israel to Palestine, and that's that. End of game.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, so what does the moderate Jew, what does the liberal Jew, what does the American Jew, whether you characterize them by straight titles, left, right, moderate, or by pejorative titles such as bleeding heart, what does that Jew say when you give him your arithmetic?
What Jews have done for the last 2,000 years. They've looked away hoping it will go away. Of course they have no answer to that. That's why I'm barred from appearing on Israel Radio. I'm barred from appearing on Israel TV. I'm barred from speaking in
schools. I didn't know that was possible.
Well,
how can you be barred?
It's government-owned. Government.
But I thought it was a free press, free media.
Well, the TV is government. Radio is government. The newspapers, of course, private.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, rather than deal with this extremely painful truth that I'm speaking about, they simply look away from it. And that's the tragedy. If you look away, things don't go away. This is the terrible syndrome. More Jews have died over the last 2,000 years because of that than for any other reason. We don't want to see that which is too painful. We don't want to think about that which is too awesome. So we simply don't think about it, and then it doesn't exist. But it does exist. And as you say, those cliffs are coming closer, and we better have an answer. And they have no answer, and that's the insanity of it. That's what frustrates me. I am a frustrated. Beneath this exterior of just a nice guy, I am a frustrated Jew because I love Jews and I can't take them.
That's where I wonder if the New York Times is going to put that on page one, section two, beneath the fold, quotation of the day. Yeah. Now, the challenge of coming up with some answer, how will Israel survive if it remains like it is, a total democracy, Arabs can vote, and the Arab population is growing, what is the answer to that? How can we plan forward to an Israel which is a democracy and a state like it is now? If somebody put a gun to my head and said, you've got to give me a hypothetical answer to that, it would be this. Israel is bringing education to the Arabs. Israel is bringing the 20th century to the Arabs. Israel is bringing democracy to the Arabs. So, when the plane approaches that cliff, it will turn into a cloud, because by then you'll find Arabs voting, we want Israel, not the wretchedness of our brother Arab states. When we get back, we'll tackle that one. Democracy has brought the 20th century. Israel has brought education. When the crunch comes, they will vote to have a united Jewish, Arab, Christian Israel as an exemplar of all the good things in political life in the Middle East, and they will not become parochial, hateful, divisive Arabs, finally having achieved their dream through numbers of having enough power inside Israel to vote Israel out of existence. Meir Kahana.
Education does not make for, as you say, a better Arab. The revolution never came from the numb and the dumb. It only came from the intellectual. If anything, it's the education, it's the young Arab today who is the more radical. His father, the Falach, would plow his 50 dunam. He would hate Jews quietly, but he'd get his 50 dunam and finish, and that's fine. His son goes to Hebrew U, and he's a radical. And he's an attorney, and he's into politics. And that's the way it is. It will get worse. The Jews didn't come to Israel to create a model of Jews and Arabs and Christians. They came to Israel to create a Jewish state. That's what it says in the Declaration of Independence. Why a Jewish state? Because if there's a Jewish majority, then we'll be free once and for all this constant fear. Will there be pogroms? And will there be... We're the masses of our faith then. The Poles are a majority in Poland, so that's why they run Poland. The Jews are a majority in Israel, that's why they run Israel. Not a question of can we live together or not. The question is, if the Arabs will be a majority, will they accept the fact that Israel is a Jewish state? Of course not. Will they accept the fact that the law of return applies only to Jews? Of course not. Will they give money to the UJA? Of course not. Okay, so something called the UAA, and all the Jews and all the synagogues will now give the United Arab Appeal. Of course, this is the question. There is no answer except the answer that I have given. And if that is said, well, I never promise you a rose.
All right, I understand.
Anything else?
One of the strange explanations of Henry Kissinger's behavior. A lot of his activities were interpreted as being weak, on aggression, selling America out. And somebody explained, look, Kissinger knows better than anybody else in the world, because he's smart, how strong they have become and how weak we have become. And these actions, which seem to be pandering to dictators and to aggressors and sellout, are really brilliant, brilliant playing of a poor hand well, getting an enfeebled giant democracy, America, the best deal possible under the circumstances. Do you think Israel may have to play a poor hand well for at least temporary survival?
No. No. Because the fact of the matter is that the Arabs are not fools. The Arabs know that given the logic of politics, the time is on their side. What happens when they have a little nuclear weapon? Not a big one, a little primitive one like the one on Hiroshima. Why should they make deals with us? Why should they allow us to parlay a poor hand into a winning hand? Why should they? They're not fools. Whatever those Arabs are, they're not fools. If I was not a man of faith, if I didn't believe that there is a God, a real God, and that we are his chosen people, and that the state of Israel is God's hand, and that this is the messianic era, if I didn't believe that, I'd say, Jews, pack your bags and get back to Brooklyn and cheer for Dixie Walker or Darryl Strawberry. The fact of the matter is that I do believe there is a God, and I believe that we are a chosen people, and I believe that we are on the verge of this tremendous era, the final era of redemption, and we will not go under if we do that which God says. And if that sounds like your Protestant evangelical in North Carolina, mm-hmm. Well, we came first.
First of all, what do you mean by chosen people? Because my Sunday school teacher explained that to me in a way that would not annoy other people.
Naturally, of course. A chosen people means that we have been chosen above all other peoples. Now, what can I tell you? Now, obviously chosen for a great big many difficult things, and to be elevated, and to lead a life of holiness and sanctity. Nevertheless, chosen, yes. Now, you can cut it, fry it, bake it, whatever you want to do with it. That has always been the Jewish concept until it was twisted and nullified and so on by Jews in modern times who didn't want to anger the Gentiles.
Well, that's the explanation. The explanation that we were taught,
yes.
And we heard that Jews were a chosen people, was that they're chosen to spread God's word, but not better than anybody else.
Well, the fact of the matter is that I suppose that living in North Carolina, one would like to give that kind of a definition. It would make things a little bit easier. But that ain't the way it was originally.
All right. When the Messiah comes, will he have a press conference? He'll say he's the Messiah. Will the New York Times agree he's the Messiah?
Absolutely not.
Has anybody ever imputed messianic qualities to you?
Oh, no. Of course not. Of course not. The fact of the matter is that we don't know exactly what that is. But when he comes, I suppose even the oxes will be gored.
Mm. Now, can you imagine the real Messiah coming, doing a few miracles to prove he's the Messiah? Can you imagine the New York Times editorial page?
No, though. They'll still fight him right down to the bottom line. They'll still fight him there.
Mm.
But can you imagine him saying, "And gentlemen, I've got to tell you something. Kahana was really right."
Mm. You just said something's going to stick in my mind long after everything else. You talk about a little Hiroshima-type bomb. Do you fear an Arab nuclear attack on Israel?
Of course I do. Of course I do. And all the people that sit and say, we have to give in to the... Well, if you have to give in, don't think that the Arabs will let you give in unless it's at their price. Because they know the time is on their side, if you think logically. Thank God Jews are not logical. Thank God for that. If Jews had been logical, they'd have been long since gone. I'm talking logically, and I'm talking practically, and then I'm saying, let's drop that route. Let's go back to God and Jewish strength and Jewish faith and Jewish belief. And if not, then we are in for a difficult, tragic time, because there is a reality of nuclear warfare. There is a reality of chemical warfare. Look at Iraq. What in the world makes you think that in Israel there aren't in all the public shelters gas masks? There are. There are.
My ear, you saw me write your name down just now in my permanent accept no substitute address book. I want you to put your telephone number in Israel. I'm going to come ride in the Jeep with you when you go campaigning, okay? I want to cover you.
Okay, fine, game. I'm game.
To be continued, Meir Kahana, the leader of the forces in Israel that want to expel the Arabs and have a Jewish state. I wish we could say the end, but history and demographics teach me to say to be continued. First, WMCA, Strauss.